Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, our church celebrates, that is, our small Orthodox Church in America celebrates the saints of this land. So what I'd like to do this morning, even though it will be brief, is to focus on three points. The first is, why does the church, particularly after the Feast of Pentecost, celebrate the following week All Saints, and then after that Sunday, celebrate the local saints? The second point will be, what does it mean to be a saint? And then the third will be, what does it mean to be a church, a local church? And in our case, the local church in America. So let's look at the first point, the first question. Why does the church celebrate the saints? How many know of saints? Okay, so why do we celebrate?
Because they bear witness to God.
Because?
They bear witness to God.
They
bear witness to God.
They bear witness to God. Yes, that's absolutely right. But keep in mind that these feasts occur immediately after Pentecost. That is the key. The church celebrates the saints in order to show, to reveal, to proclaim that the Spirit is active, not only in the past, but is acting throughout history. We celebrate the saints, and in the celebration, we affirm and confirm that the Spirit is real, that the Spirit is alive, that the Spirit is divine, that the Spirit is given to the world so that the world can hear the Word of God, so that indeed the world can hear through the church, the gospel, the good news of new and eternal life. The second point, the second question is, who are the saints? And don't say holy people. Who are the saints?
Everyone redeemed by Christ.
Everyone redeemed by Christ. We can zero more closely on that. Who can point to say here? Yes, see? There. But where else?
We are
the gathering of the saints. And that's why it's important for us to read the scripture. Because when we read the letters of St. Paul, some of the letters of St. Paul, he refers to the Christians of local churches as the saints who dwell in a particular place, the saints who dwell in a particular place at a particular time. So the saint is the one who is redeemed by Christ. And what else? What about us? How is it that we can be called the community of the saints? And keep in mind, key to these three points, these three questions, is Pentecost.
Because we have the Holy Spirit.
We have the Holy Spirit. And when is that Spirit given to us?
At baptism.
The seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what we say when we chrismate someone. This is what has been said over us when we were chrismated. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. We don't say gifts. It is the Spirit of God who is the gift given to us so that indeed we can be nurtured, we can grow in the new life in Christ. When we are baptized, we sing what we hear and read from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put put on Christ in order for this putting on of Christ to bear fruit, to grow. We are given the Spirit who indeed makes us heirs, makes us children, sons and daughters of the triune and tri-personal God. It is the Spirit who enables us to be faithful disciples of the Lord, who is incarnate, who is crucified, who is buried, who is risen and ascended for us. We are the saints. Does this mean that we are sinless?
No.
No. No, I was tempted, but I didn't want to lead you into temptation, to bring a very interesting quotation from someone writing about a saint living in his time, one of the great saints of our church. I didn't bring this, I'm not going to quote it, except to say that the person, this contemporary person of a particular saint, not in America, not in this century, is writing to someone and saying that we best make sure that the grave of this person has a very heavy gravestone so that it does not come back to the torment. And that indeed it might even be a great torment for those in heaven and hell now that he is dead. So the saints certainly are not sinless, and yet each of us, sealed with the Spirit, is called into that new life, is called to enter that path, to tread that ascetical path in which we indeed seek with the grace of the Spirit to overcome sin, to overcome all that which prevents us from loving God, from loving our neighbor, and from loving ourselves. Now the third point, the third question. How are we to understand ourselves as the Orthodox Church in America? Does this have any meaning, any impact for us or not? And as always, you can be as honest as you should be. Does it have a meaning for us?
Sure.
How many realize that this is a parish, that this is the gathering of the community of the saints within what we refer to as the Orthodox Church in America? That's it. So I really failed. What does it mean to be a local church? To be a local church, to be a local community, to be those who witness, who affirm and confirm that the gift of the Spirit has been given to us means that we have to continue. And this is only possible through the Spirit. The earthly, the public ministry of Christ. So in saying that, what comes to mind? When you hear me say, or others say, when you read that the church is given to the world to continue the ministry of Christ, what comes to mind? Or do you turn the page?
Preaching the message of the kingdom.
Preaching the message of the kingdom. Can you say anything else?
Healing every infirmity.
So, indeed, to be a local church is to make present Christ. And that means to offer his word, and this word is the word of new life. It is the word of forgiveness. It is the word of comfort. It is the word of healing. It is the word of sanctification. It is the word of deification. Is the word that raises up each person from darkness to light, from death to life. How does the church? How is the church to do that? How is the church to reveal the activity of the Spirit in a particular place and in a particular time?
We have to learn to love our neighbor,
and we know, at least I know, that is not always easy. Often different. Anything else? We have to be, and that means the church has to be like its master, like its head. The one who takes upon himself the sin of the world. This is not just wretched. If we are indeed to talk to our neighbor, if we are indeed to love our neighbor, if we are indeed to embrace our neighbor, we have to be like Christ and take on the burdens of our neighbor. The church exists as Christ exists. We hear the gospel according to St. John. We hear St. John the Baptist himself referring to Christ as the Lamb of God. Who can complete that phrase? Behold, the Lamb of God.
He takes away the sin of the world.
Many say take away. If we look at the Greek, I would say it's even more specific. Behold, the Lamb of God takes upon himself the sin of the world. He takes the sin of the world. And the church, if it is endowed with the Spirit, if it is vivified by the Spirit, it must then be the authentic presence of the Messiah of the world. And to be the authentic presence is to reveal the Messiah continues to take upon himself the sin of the world for the life of the world and its salvation. We celebrate the saints because the Spirit is alive. We are a local church, we are a local parish because, and only because, the Spirit is alive. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, and I have to clarify, I said that Nebmatumahi meant killers of the Spirit. In a way, we can use that definition, but it is not accurate at all. The accurate definition for Nebmatumahi is fighters of the Spirit. And when the church refuses to be as its master, to be as its head, when it refuses to take upon itself the sin of the world, the burden of the world, the sadness of the world, the catastrophes of the world, it fights against the Spirit. And then we have to ask ourselves, if we are a people who fight against the Spirit, can we claim to be the living body of Christ?
No.
Can
we? No.
Of course not. And everything we do here becomes an indictment against us. Brothers and sisters, we celebrate the saints, let us give thanks to the Lord that he has endowed us with the Spirit who enables us here and now to be citizens of the kingdom which is to come. Amen.